it's time to talk about your almost first half South Division champs of the Northwest League. When the boys are back in town, he's the play-by-play guy right here on KUJZ 95.3, The Score. We welcome in Matt Dompe. Matt, thanks for the time. How you doing?
Thanks for having us, Steve. We are doing all right. We can almost taste the cheap champagne here at PK Park.
Yeah, so even though it's a first half, I mean, what kind of celebration? Do people come into the game tonight, did they need to bring goggles?
Well, a number of our front office guys actually have already brought goggles. We tried to satiate their enthusiasm just a little bit and keep it focused a little bit more on the players. But, yeah, that'll be quite a celebration. First time in 5 years trying to make the playoffs when we clinched it back in 2011. We still have some memories of those, of a little bit of damage in the locker room. So we've got a lot of plastic sheeting, I think about 600 feet worth. The tough thing is going to be the call that Alan Benavidez, the GM, is going to have to make at some point in the game. When do you put up the tarp to block off all the stuff in the locker room without jinxing it? That's the tough part.
Like, he doesn't have enough on his plate. You got to hit him with where to put the tarp.
Exactly.
You know what, Matt? Is it me, or from a strict timing point of view, consider when the affiliation with the Cubs started again, you think about the direction that organization is headed, the kind of season they're having, the kind of season you're having. Being under that umbrella the past year and a half, has that just been like as much of a spark for the M's and everybody around here as it seems?
It's just been a night and day difference. Being with the Cubs organization, that first winter meetings, getting to meet Joe Maddon and having him talk about, you know, people were talking going in 2015 that the Cubs would be better, that they'd be contenders. They've got some young hitters. They signed some pitching. And he was like, I don't know what these guys are talking about. We're trying to win the World Series. And I think that, you know, just like every organization, every corporation, it all starts at the top, and that attitude and that vibe has just come all the way down here to Eugene.
Now, before we get into the team, as we continue with play-by-play man Matt Dompe, what is your background? I mean, I'm not sure. I think I've talked to Alan about it. Where are you from, and where did you get your broadcast training?
Right here at PK Park. Actually, my first series was in Yakima when I took over for Chris Fisher, 2011, the last couple of weeks, which is actually the last time we made the playoffs. I'm originally from San Jose, so I'm a Bay Area guy, San Francisco sports guy through and through. Went to UCLA for college, spent some time in the California League, the Australian Baseball League, and then moved here in 2010. So I helped open up PK Park with the Emeralds in that inaugural season.
That's amazing. So you didn't go to broadcast school or anything like that?
Other than listening to John Miller and Dwayne Kuiper and Dave Fleming, and maybe a little Vin Scully when I was in college, that was my broadcast school.
Interesting, because I don't know if you realize, you kind of do a great job as far as that old school radio broadcast. You paint a really good mental image, so I guess you listen to the right guys.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I've been practicing for about 5 years and maybe even a little bit longer, but you know, just listening to KNBR as a kid growing up, even going back to Hank Greenwald in the early 90s. You know, I still just, even in the, you know, when I'm up here in the broadcast booth in the afternoon, like around this time of the day, I'll throw on some East Coast games, listen to the Cubs. I really like the Mets and the Blue Jays announcers too. So just take whatever you can from every announcer you listen to and just try to get better each game.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, you guys are looking for the clincher tonight, and I remember leading up to the season, there was more than the average amount of optimism, which is interesting because at this level, with all the turnover, you know, you wait for the draft, you don't know who's going to be on your roster. Why did it seem there was just an unusually high level of positive anticipation about how good this team could be?
Well, this was a weird year with what the Cubs did in the offseason. They didn't really set themselves up to have a huge draft. When they signed Jason Hayward and they signed John Lackey from the Cardinals, they lost the first round, they lost the second round pick, and so the top pick wasn't until number 104. Whoa. And not only does that, you know, you're not going to have one of those top kind of bonus baby guys, but it also hurts your overall pool of money to sign guys. They only had $2.9 million to sign 38 picks. Last year, the top two guys commanded about $4.5 million. So it was going to be kind of tough sledding. They ended up signing 23 out of the 38. But with that, not having a first and second rounder, I think there isn't that kind of jealousy that can come into the locker room when you got one guy that got a $5,000 signing bonus and a ham sandwich, and another guy that got $2.7 million. That can definitely cause a little strife in the clubhouse. And these guys have actually, most of this team played together in the Arizona League last year and extended spring training this year, and they were one of the top teams in both of those leagues. So these guys have played together. You know, as you know, in every level of baseball, chemistry is a huge thing.
Sure.
And I think that's coming to bear here through 31 games in this season.
Now, before we get to more M's talk, as we continue with play-by-play man Matt Dompe, I was reading your biography. So you're telling us all you could hit a 3-wood off the deck, 240. I'm not skeptical. I'm impressed. But as a big golf fan, first of all, Phil hit his 3-wood off the tee, 310. That final round, I know you're a big golf guy. How riveting was that between Stenson and Mickelson?
I mean, I really, really, really wanted to sleep in on Sunday, but when I woke up at 6:30 and realized that they would be teeing off pretty soon, I had to get out of bed. And it would have been nice if it was a little closer coming down to that last one when Stenson almost hit it into that bunker, 310 off the tee. That would have been a little bit interesting to see him have to try to get to the green from there. But even more interesting, maybe if he would have made that birdie putt on 17, he would have been going for 62.
Right.
But I guess 63 and tying the record, that was all right.
How about, I mean, you don't have to be a high-level player to understand. You shoot 63 in the first round. You start the day on the lead or near the lead. You shoot your second-best round ever in the history of a major at 65, and you lose by three. Could you imagine what's got to be going through Lefty's head?
I mean, the only thing I can think would be at least he didn't lose by one. At least it was three to where, you know what, he didn't really have a chance at the last because the guy birdied it. You know, I mean, going into 18 down two, you know, if he bogeys and I birdie, then we're tied. But when he birdies, you really got no chance. So I think that would make it a little easier to swallow.
I want to get back to the M's and talk about the managerial situation. We spoke a couple times last year with Gary, and of course now the gig is belonging to Jesus Feliciano, who actually started his playing career in this league in 98. Kind of take us through that entire change and the kind of impact this skipper has made on this team so far this summer.
It's just been a kind of a rejuvenation of energy for the squad. I mean, Jesus is a young guy. He still plays in the Puerto Rican League. Actually, two winters ago, he led the Puerto Rican League in batting average, if you can believe that. He keeps telling the Cubs it's going to be his last year, and then he asked for one more. He did it again this year. He still wants to play. But him and Brian Lawrence, our pitching coach, were actually teammates in AAA in the Mets organization, and they've been coaching together for a few years. So the core of the coaching staff really knows each other really well. It's Jesus' first year as a manager, but still have Gary on board as a assistant general or assistant manager, I guess is what we're calling him. Essentially, Gary had an opportunity to move up. He and his family live in the Boise area. He's got young kids that he didn't really want to be away for all spring and all summer, so he decided to stay in short season. So they kind of created this role, but I think it's perfect. Jesus gets to learn from a veteran manager here in the Northwest League, and the players get a kind of a younger guy that isn't too far removed from playing in affiliated ball.
Yeah, Gary's a stud, also a big hockey guy, so he gets extra bonus points around here. Let's get to some of the players. Jose Paulino, he's only 21, but he's been with the organization since he's 17. Now he's exclusively in the rotation. Man, what has clicked with him that has seen such improvement? And let's face it, with a .64 ERA and that whip, what's made him dominating at times?
I mean, it's all been control. I mean, I think his strikeout to walk is something like 30-2, almost Kershaw-esque in that manner.
Right.
And that's really something that kind of separates the men from the boys at this level. It's all about control. And when they can pound the zone and fool guys and then mix in a curveball here and there that'll catch the strike zone, they can keep guys off balance all day. And it really is a pitcher-dominated league with guys switching to the wood bats. For a lot of them, it's their first year or two trying to find that tiny sweet spot on the wood bat. So, and especially with PK Park, I mean, as we all know, if you follow the Ducks or the Emeralds, it's not a hitter's yard whatsoever.
No.
And actually, we're leading the league in home runs this year with 15 as a squad, which is actually amazing. There's been years where we've hit 15 for the whole season.
Final thought. Obviously, home game tonight, a lot on the line for folks coming out to the ballpark the next couple nights. What could they expect?
So tonight is actually the first Tuesday home game of the year. We got discounted Ninkasi brews. We're also doing some sort of newfangled promotion to do with Pokemon, but I know you don't care about that, and I don't really either. But the kids can look that one up.
All right.
And then tomorrow night, kids eat free. So courtesy of Carl's Jr. to get a hot dog, soda, and chips to come to the game for kids 12 and under. So plenty of reasons to come out and see us. Both games at 7:05.
All right. Hey, Matt, you're the man. Really appreciate your time. Great stuff. And let's catch up soon.
Yeah, we got to do another remote out here sometime this year during batting practice.
All right. Thanks for the time, man.
Right, thanks
a lot. Have a great game tonight.